Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Some students look back on their middle school years fondly, but for others, it's a time they'd rather forget. Author R.J. Palacio explores the emotional ups and downs of August Pullman's first year of middle school in her book Wonder, and the novels the Vermont Humanities Council's pick for Vermont Reads this year. In this passage, Augie's friend Summer describes some of the bullying Augie had to put up with at school.
It was actually because I was playing Foursquare with August that I found out about the plague. Apparently, this is a game that's been going on since the beginning of the year. Anyone who accidentally touches August has only 30 seconds to wash their hands or find hand sanitizer before they catch the plague. I'm not sure what happens if you actually catch the plague because nobody's touched August yet. Not directly. How I found out about this is that Maya Markowitz told me that the reason she won't play Foursquare with us at recess is that she doesn't want to catch the plague. I was like, what's the plague? And she told me. I told Maya I thought that was really dumb, and she agreed, but she still wouldn't touch a ball that August just touched. Not if she could help it.
Bullying, in its subtle and not-so-subtle forms, is unfortunately an often common part of the middle school experience. In 2012, the state legislature strengthened Vermont's laws on bullying, hazing, and harassment. It also created an advisory council to help schools handle and prevent bullying and harassment. But can new laws or increased oversight make a meaningful dent in an age-old problem? VPR's Susan Keese looks at efforts to create a safe and inclusive environment in middle schools where much of the worst bullying occurs.
Despite efforts to curb bullying and harassment, students say it happens, often on the unsupervised fringes of middle school life. Savannah Carter sees it in the morning when kids get on the school bus.
People start laughing at them for no reason at all and start picking on them.
She says it makes her feel bad and a little helpless.
I just don't know what to do about it because I feel if I get involved with it, they'd do the same exact thing to me.
Carter is a seventh grader at Bennington's Mount Anthony Union Middle School. It's one of many schools where students have been discussing bullying and harassment this year. Sixth grader Taya Oakes says it's complicated.
Because there's so many different ways that it happens. Like, sometimes after lunch when nobody is watching is when a lot of bullying happens.
Oakes had problems earlier this year when a classmate kept shoving her in the halls. She says she told the bully to stop with no results. After that, she turned to a faculty advisor.
And then when that didn't work, I talked to my mom about it. And then we talked to the principal about it, and then it finally stopped.
Tony Lee is the vice principal of Mount Anthony Union Middle School, where he says education about bullying and harassment begins each year with an assembly on the first day of school.
We talk about bullying, and we actually do examples of what it looks like up in front, so the entire sixth grade sees what is bullying, what is fooling around with other kids, what's fooling around with your friends.
The lessons continue all year with programs, activities, and discussions in small advisory groups.
I think we do a good job of educating kids about other kids' feelings and about their actions and what that means to other people.
Even before state law required it, the school had a bullying and harassment policy and three designated staff members to quickly investigate complaints. Solutions range from mediation and education to, in rare cases, criminal action. But there are always new challenges, like the recent explosion of cyberbullying among middle schoolers. So while Lee says his school's anti-bullying program is a good one, it hasn't solved the problem entirely.
It works, and it doesn't work.
Vermont students showed the same sort of ambivalence in a listening tour conducted last fall by the state's Harassment, Hazing, and Bullying Prevention Advisory Council. The panel visited five middle and high schools chosen at random from around the state. Council member Ken Page, who directs the Vermont Principals Association, was shocked by what he heard at one school.
Because there were a number of kids that presented pretty hopeless situations. And they, well, first of all, they said they couldn't think of a single adult in the building that they would turn to.
The council's report says students' feelings of safety vary noticeably from one school to another. Tracy Sagawa is the council's chairwoman. She says the group was created to address those inconsistencies and provide training, advice, and resources around the state. Meanwhile, some schools are exploring programs that address the wider issues of school climate and respect. More than 100 Vermont schools have adopted a program called PBIS, Positive Behavior Interventions and Supports. It's a fact of life at Central Vermont's Northfield Middle High School. Middle school administrator Ryan Parkman sees its impact everywhere as he walks through the halls.
PBIS really works at building a positive environment and a positive climate because I don't think we focus on just bullying. We focus on overall behavior. We don't allow rude, discourteous behavior. That's where it all starts. So if we can teach our students that that's not appropriate, it doesn't even rise to the bullying level.
A precept of the program is that students get noticed for doing the right thing. Since the school's mascot is a pirate, students are rewarded with doubloons, which can add up to prizes or privileges.
If you're in a classroom and you're trying to teach and there's, when you notice a couple kids that might be goofing off in the back, you can walk over to a student and you say, hey, for really taking care of your work and doing the right thing, I appreciate it. Don't draw attention to the kids that are goofing off.
Officials at the school say bullying investigations and suspensions have decreased noticeably. A group of older students in the school's busy lunchroom say bullying has become less common. Patty Bailey is a junior.
I feel like it's gone down a lot since I started like middle school here. Like I noticed it a lot when I was little, like just people getting picked on.
Bailey's friend Taylor Nash agrees.
I'd say that it's definitely gone down a lot just because administration's been a little bit, you know, more keen on spotting bullying and students are a lot better at handling it.
People don't feel so helpless, Nash says. If they see someone being bullied, they say, we don't do that here. For VPR News, I'm Susan Keese.
Even without bullying, middle school can be a difficult time for students. As Christ the King middle schooler Sophia Moore-Smith shared in her essay for the Young Writers Project.
The worst thing about being a teenager is that nobody seems to understand you. It seems like you can't say or do anything right. Say something negative, even if it's the truth, and you complain too much. Say something positive, and now you're accused of being naive and childish. You're struggling with a learning disability? You just need to study harder, stupid. Feeling crushed under a wave of depression? Just smile and get over it, emo. Being ostracized for having a different opinion? Don't rock the boat. Just try and be normal. Grappling with an eating disorder? Just eat something, for God's sake. Made fun of for being overweight? Just stop eating, for God's sake. Your problems are looked at as not being real, and most of the time, this attitude from adults only makes the problem worse. You might try and speak up about what's bothering you, but teachers and parents brush it off as angsty teenagers. Maybe if adults put themselves in our shoes and tried to understand our issues without blaming us or making us feel stupid, then maybe the current number of 1.75 million teenagers diagnosed with anxiety disorders in the U.S. alone would drop. It's stressful enough just being our age, with school and friends and just growing up. But it's worse when we don't have a sufficient support system. Teens need supportive parents and authority figures to succeed in school and in life. When adults don't understand a point I'm trying to make, or don't accept that I might be frustrated with a situation at hand, it makes me unwilling to try and explain further when it's clear they will always disagree. It's easier to just talk with my peers, or even be alone, than to engage in a disagreement that I know no adult will ever lose. And parents wonder why their teenage children are so distant.
That was Sophia Moore-Smith with her essay for the Young Writers Project. Listen tomorrow to Vermont Reads Wonder when we hear from some Vermonters who say they're living the story of Wonder. For VPR News, I'm Mitch Wertley.